God's Word, faithfully preached, is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives, delivering them from the shackles of sin, the flesh, and the world, and transforming them into useful vessels through whom Jesus can pour out His blessings. Living Seed invites you to a feast of the truth as God's servant brings to us the Word of Life.
Somebody help me sing, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, godly will, I toil and suffer, only let me walk with Thee.
Close to Thee, 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 close to Thee That we thank God for bringing us back after the break and to bring us to a new year, the year that God has made for us. And as we've been going from MLR into the crossover and the visions retreat, we see God speaking continuously that we have entered into a new season, which he called Rehoboth. And that in this season, God has made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. I want to thank God that we're able to again reconvene for this Bible study at a time like this. I want to welcome all of you that are back. I know there are several others that will still be joining us in the course of the coming days. Can we pray together? Father, we are grateful to you for the opportunity of this Bible study online. Thank you for several of us that are gathering in different parts, and we are taking this study together. We want to return thanks to you. We want to say, take all the glory. Thank you for the opportunity for us to gather at your feet and hear you speak to us. And today, as we kick off again, we just want to ask that you breathe upon us. We ask that your spirit will come upon us, start us off with this new year, with the song that we sang together with our brethren from Ghana, close to thee, all along our pilgrim journey. One thing we desire is to walk with you, not for fame or worldly pleasure, not for ease. That's not what we look for. We look for you. We want to walk with you. And we ask that even as we start this year again, draw us near. Draw us to yourself and show us your mercy. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Now, our study had been on the kingdom lifestyle. And as the Lord will have it, we have been able to go on for a while right now, and we have come as far as looking at those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. I will request that as we come to introduce the next of the Beatitude, which is our chapter 7, Blessed are the Merciful. What we'll do today is just a general introduction and a time to pray together. It is next week that we will actually begin an elaborate kind of study by the grace of God. I will just use today to wrap up all that we did before and to discuss what God has done so far as we introduce this new chapter 7, Blessed are the Merciful. Let me request Sister Janelle to read for us the Matthew chapter 5, and please read from verse 1, and you read it down to verse 7, which will be our study today. Matthew chapter 5 from verse 1 to 7. I hope Sister Janelle is on the platform and she can pick us up right away.
Yes, brother. Matthew 5 from New King James. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Right. Thank you. As far as we have studied, we have been coming from that passage, and we have noted that this series of instruction that God is asking us to go through this time they are precious instruction that the Lord himself went to the mount and sat down to teach those whom he was preparing to become his apostles and those who will spearhead the move of God on the face of the earth as he was raising them. So the Bible said, even though he saw multitude and multitude came everywhere, Jesus was not bothered about multitude. He wanted to give attention to his disciples. And when he was seated, we are told that his disciples came up to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, again, I'd like you to note that this is a teaching that Jesus Christ sat down to give to his disciples, to give them a perspective and the principle of the kingdom life. And so again, as we have been coming along, I want you to know that we are just sitting at the feet of the Lord as he begins to show us what it is that is crucial in the kingdom life. What is it that any man that wants to advance in the purpose of God must carry? And you will bear me witness that even though those are just few verses that we have read, it has taken us several weeks. The reason is because in each of those statements that Jesus made, there was so much depth. There was so much unfathomable mystery in his heart for us. And if any of you is desiring to actually advance with God and become something in God's hand, again, I want to ask you to sit down with this. And no matter how many years I have been sitting down with the Word of God, I've not found it boring at all. No matter how many years I have read these scriptures, I've studied it, I still need to study because I found that they are treasures that God himself had packaged together for the children of the kingdom. And can you look at all these things we have read? It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we spent time looking at that. We spoke about what does it mean to be poor in spirit? What does it mean to recognize that you are spiritually poor so that God might flow into your life? And we saw that the proud man is unfortunate. One who is proud has no particular inheritance in the purpose of God. The Bible says God actually receives the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Then we came on looking at blessed are those who mourn. And you wonder why Jesus Christ would say to mourn is a blessing. And if you follow the way God led us, and I think some of the instructions are still either they have been trapped, and if you look for it, you can get the past series we have done on this. Blessed are those who mourn. I think we spent about 3 weeks talking about that. Because the Lord was showing us a lifestyle of those who have deep thoughts, a lifestyle of those who can actually carry a burden for God that can bring comfort to their generation. And then we came on looking at blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In the world system, they think to be meek is to be weak. But they don't know that the meek has an inner strength. He has an inner strength that makes him to be able to tolerate and bear with people and possess the entire earth. And we ended last year by looking at blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I did say severally that whenever you no longer have hunger, whenever you are no more thirsty, you are sick. You are sick. Whenever your hunger for God, your hunger for the place of prayer, your thirst to learn more, your thirst to to experience the move of the Spirit in your life. Whenever that test is dead, you are honestly sick and it's an emergency. Have you lost your hunger for God? Are you no longer eager? You used to remember, say, oh, when I first met the Lord, when I first repented. But that has changed. You have become history now in your lifetime. I dare say that you are really, really in an emergency situation. And God must do something for you as we begin this year. Now, the song that the brethren sang, close to thee, close to thee, you, my everlasting portion, will continue to be a kind of thematic song for us as we pass on in this year, as we grow on in this year, as we look onto what God intends to bring us to in this year. Each one of us must have that desire to be close to Him, for Him to become your portion in life. God wants to bring us into this more deliberately in the name of Jesus Christ. But this day, we have come to that chapter 7, and I would like us to please turn to our Bible study outline and look at blessed are the merciful. Sister Jenny has just read that passage for us, so I would like to pick that verse 7 again. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, because they shall obtain mercy. Before we go on reading, can I check whether there's any other version that express it differently from what we have just read? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Brother Clarence, you have any other version that you thought we need to look at?
Yes, sir. I have the Message Bible.
All right. You want to read Message for us?
Okay. Let me see, make sure that's verse 7. It says, you're blessed when you care. Mm-hmm. At the moment of being careful, you find yourself cared for.
All right. Thank you. And you will notice that in the scripture, they put that careful in an inverted comma, isn't it? And the word careful is to be full of care. It's not to be the normally careful or being cautious. We are talking about being full of care. So thank you for that. So blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I think that's how majority of the passages, I mean versions, has put it. NIV said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Basic Bible, Bible in Basic English, happy are those who have mercy, for they will be given mercy. I think that's what we are talking about. Now, let's take the introduction onto our study at this time. In continuation of our study on the kingdom lifestyle, we shall yet study another blessed attitude of the kingdom of God. Blessed are the merciful. The Sermon on the Mount presents to us a bunch of coded secrets that become beatitudes when imbibed, which can open the unlimited heavenly treasures of life to an obedient disciple. Now, this thing that we are studying, we said they are like coded secrets. They are mysteries. Things that if you imbibe them, if you learn them, they will open the unlimited heavenly treasures of life to you as an obedient disciple. So as we go again, particularly this year, beginning to look at what lifestyle, what attitude is God asking me to embark, particularly as we are speaking at God bringing us to a new season of His visitation a new season of fruitfulness, a new season of blessedness. What lifestyle would God have us carry? That dealt with the fact that to know you are spiritually poor, God is going to lavish you with every grace that you needed. We have noted that if you are those who mourn, God himself will release you and bring you to a place of comfort. You will see God doing things on your behalf because you have been bearing a burden in your heart to see the move of God in our generation. But as we have come to this particular beatitude, blessed are the merciful. This is very, very deep in my heart because I will be speaking to you later on what it means to obtain mercy. There is nothing you can honestly become in the purpose of God unless you have obtained mercy. We cannot even have an effective ministry into people's lives unless we have received it by mercy. But now I'm noting a very big matter here, that only those that are merciful will obtain mercy. Now, while I realize that I cannot become anything in the purpose of God unless I will receive it by mercy, this is what is going to bring a very big matter in our approach of dealing with this particular attitude of the kingdom. And I'm praying that I'll be able to pass that on to you. If I don't get to that point today, like because I just want to do a general preamble, next week we'll be settling down to look at the issues very, very, very deliberately, because it's critical. My heart is desiring that God will make you a man that can obtain mercy. God will make you a woman that can obtain mercy. When we start studying, you see all the people that have ever become anything in the purpose of God, it is because they have received mercy. All the people that advance and push the agenda of God to a distance in their lifetime, it's not because of merit. It's not because of their struggle. It's not because they had money. It's because the mercy of God came to them. But now, this particular study will be showing us the prerequisite for obtaining mercy. What I must be in order for God to have mercy on me. And that is the very critical matter here. Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy, or they will be given mercy. Please, brethren, pray that God will teach you to be merciful. Be reminded again that unless you act on these sayings of the Master, you will only be building your life on sand. It is only in acting on them that you will be truly, truly blessed. So as the Lord will permit us this time, I want us to go ahead now to say, what does the word mercy mean? What does the word mercy, what does it mean? Now, when you go to the Webster Dictionary, the lexicon Webster Dictionary defines it like this. It defines mercy as benevolence. It defines mercy for us as benevolence. Or what it calls mildness or tenderness of heart, which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. It is the disposition that tempers justice and induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries and to forbear punishment. So the issue we are raising is that to understand the word mercy. Mercy is a disposition of heart that tempers justice, that leads either to pardon or to a lighter punishment than the law or justice warrants. So when we say somebody is merciful, we are talking about someone who has this kind of benevolent attitude of heart, a mildness of life, and a tenderness of heart, particularly to those who have either offended you or those who have misbehaved or have brought injuries onto your life. It's an act, it's an exercise of benevolence or favor. So when we talk about mercy, mercy is an act. It is something that is not just that you talk about it, it is an act. But in terms of where do you find it, mercy, we're told that it's a distinguishing attribute of God, of the Supreme Being. Now, we will be studying that as we go ahead by the grace of God. Now, let's note that mercy is not end. If it is end, if it is enable, that is, if it's something you can end either by merit or by working for it, then it's no more mercy. So when we talk of mercy, mercy is not merit. Or maybe I should say, mercy is not meritorious. It's not what you get because you merited it. So let's know that mercy is not earned by the recipient. Now, let's ask Sister Sarah to read Romans 9, 15 and 16 for us. Sister Sarah from Belize, I hope she's on the platform.
Amen. Good morning.
Yes, thank you.
The King James Version, Romans chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that will it, nor of him that run it, but of God that showeth mercy. Amen. Thank you.
We will need to repeat these passages over and over again. But as Sister Sarah had brought it up, he said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now that shows that mercy is not merited or is not earned by the recipient. The recipient of mercy are simply recipients. It is not that they are qualified particularly, or it is that they have done something to merit it. So, if it is earned, then it is by merit, and it is not by mercy. Mercy is not worked for. We don't work for mercy. So mercy cannot be claimed by right. So look at that scripture saying, it said, therefore, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. So mercy is the prerogative of the person who gives it. Mercy is not what you collect from someone by pressure. Mercy is not what you take because you argued your way through it. Mercy only comes by mercy. Let me put it like that. mercy only comes to a man by mercy. So he said, it is not of him that runneth. So mercy does not come to you because you ran. Mercy did not come to you because you are very willing, you are strongly willed. Mercy comes to any man who has received mercy by mercy. It might look as if that's tautology, but that's the only way we can express it. Now, we want to note that mercy is first and foremost associated with God. Let me tell you that there is no other source of mercy in the whole world apart from God. Please let me tell you, there is no mercy with human beings. Every time you see a person who you think is having mercy on you, he only has mercy on you in order to subjugate you. He may have mercy on you, but tomorrow he's going to speak about it. So the only true source of mercy, where we can get mercy, is from God. It's from God. And it is only God at work in our lives that can make you merciful. We'll be talking about that as we go ahead. But for this particular introduction, I want to ask us to look quickly at the association of mercy with God in the scripture. Because the passage we have read said, it is not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. If it is not God that is showing mercy, your running around, your strong will, your pursuit of it does not make sense at all. Mercy is not what you get by sweat. You don't get mercy by hard work. So mercy is the free benevolence of God to whosoever he wishes to give it. As we read, it comes only by God. So let's quickly now read scriptures. Psalm 103 verse 8. We will ask Brother Clarence to start that. 103 verse 8. As Sister Janelle, you will go back and read Joel chapter 2 and verse 13 for us. And 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, Sister Sarah. Then Daniel 9:9. I will read that. Let's go quickly. Psalm 103 and verse 8, Brother Clarence.
Psalm 103 verse 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy.
Wow. The old King James said the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. But I love the new King James. It says abounding in mercy. So note that the Lord is merciful and gracious. It looks as if these two attributes go together. When you are merciful, you are also willing to release grace. All right. Thank you for reading. Sister Jenner, Joel chapter 2, verse 13.
So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Amen.
That's great. Thank you. Rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he repented or he relents himself of any form of evil. God, when he decides to have mercy on a man, he becomes gracious to him. So we are noting that it's only from God that we can honestly have mercy. He is the only source of mercy that we can talk about or deal with. Praise the Lord. Yes? 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, Sister Sarah.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, King James Version. Blessed be God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort.
Amen. 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 Please note that. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. What would that mean? The Father of mercies is the producer of mercies. He is the fountain of mercies. If God will not release mercies, where should we have been? Where should we have been? Please, before I ask you to, before I read Daniel 9:9, can you please go and look at Lamentations chapter 3. Sister Sarah, you can run again to Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21, 22. Lamentations 3:21 and 22.
This I recall in my mind.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me, you want to add any other verse?
I want you to read from verse 22.
Oh, okay. From
22 to 23. Yes.
Okay, great. It is of the Lord's mercy that Sarah is not consumed. That we
Sarah.
Are.
That's good. It is of the Lord's mercies that Billy has not been consumed.
Amen. So
that's good. Yeah, that's good.
Of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning to God.
Every morning.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, it is the Lord's mercies. The Lord is the Father of mercies. When we read that 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3, and it said, God is the Father of mercies. What it means that for you to have mercy, the fountain of mercy, the source of mercy, the producer of mercies is the Lord. He said, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. My desire as we draw into this Bible study is that God will draw you to himself, who is the Father of mercies. Several of us, you have struggled in life. You have made several efforts. But I want to say to you that what you need actually is to come to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy. It's when God have had mercy on you that all that you have been struggling to catch will come to you. That scripture says, it is not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that does what? That showeth mercy. Now, let's read Daniel 9:9. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 9. I said I'm going to be the one to read that. So let me quickly get there. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 9. What does it say? It said, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness. In fact, the old King James pluralized forgiveness. He said, the Lord our God, to him belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Now, so when we talk about mercy, God is merciful. God is full of mercy. There is no space in him for wickedness. Please take note of that. Everything about God is mercy. All that God contains is mercies. If not, we would have been consumed. It is of the Lord's mercies that we have not been consumed. If God were to look at you without mercy, who are we to stand? There are several people that have done several issues, several things that could have finished them. But because God is abounding in mercy, God is full of mercy, and God is full of compassion, he continues to have room in his heart to be merciful to us, to be merciful to sinners, to be merciful to our generation. Mercy is God's own nature. It belongs to him. It is part of him. That is what he delights in doing. To be merciful is his hobby. It is his habit. It is his lifestyle. God is the Father of mercies. God is the Father of mercies. He is the producer of it, the origin and the originator of mercies. That's what our God is. Now, I want to stop at this point for today, because as soon as we get into number two, and we're talking about being merciful just as your Father also is merciful, that will take us to want to now look at what will be the attributes of a merciful life. But because today I just want to introduce this, I want to introduce this because if you are going to achieve anything in life, if you are going to become anything for God in your generation, you have to obtain mercy from God. If God will not have mercy on us, according to that scripture, it is of the Lord's mercies that we have not been consumed. The fact that you are in this year 2022, I want you to recognize that this is the mercy of God. It is not because you knew how to do things so well. There are several people that in the course of the last year, they have gone. They have gone. Some just had a little attack of COVID and they were gone. And there was nothing else that they can do. All their dreams have perished with them. Some of them had so much elaborating plans. Oh, we will do this, we will do that, we will do that. They silenced them and everything had become silenced about them. They are gone. But the mercies of the Lord have preserved us. The mercies of the Lord have kept you. The mercies of the Lord have sustained you. It is of the Lord's mercies that we have not been consumed. And so today, as we pray together, and as we turn to God for this year, I want us to begin to first enter into this Bible study by asking God, the God of all mercies, that we will experience his mercy in the course of this year. That the mercy of God that brought you to this point that God is announcing Rehoboth to us, that mercy will make you to thrive, that mercy will make you to be fruitful, that mercy will make you to multiply, and that Rehoboth will not be a slogan to you, it will be an experience. It will be an experience. And God is saying, and I just want to stop at that, he said, it is of the Lord that has mercy. It's not of him that run it. It's not of him that will it, but of God that have mercy. I will have mercy on who I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I know that in the course of the study, we are going to go a little further. But permit me to ask you to now read Psalm 147 as we turn this meeting to a prayer at this point this year. Now, Psalm 147, 147, and I would like to read verse 10 and verse 11. He said, he delighted not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. God does not take pleasure in the strength of a horse. Even if you are so strong as a horse, you will not go far by running. It's not of him that runneth. It's not of him that willeth. The battle is not to the strong. The battle is not to the swift. It's of God that showeth mercy. And he said, I will have mercy on who I will have mercy. As we come into this study this year, and it was very fitting that we are starting this year by considering mercy, by considering how to obtain mercy, how to be merciful, how to give mercy to people, and how we ourselves are going to become the object, the recipient of God's mercy. I want to say to you that everything that God is saying concerning you in the course of this year, you will only be able to accomplish it as you obtain mercy from the Father of all mercies. You will only be able to activate and actualize the promise of God on your life only if you have obtained it by mercy. And so I'll be asking you to let us come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in this time of need. I would like every promise, everything that you anticipate that will come to you in the course of this year, I want you to bring it before the Lord. Bring it to the mercy seat. And let's place it there and say, Lord, I know if it is by merit, I'm not going far. If it is by personal credit, I'm not going far. If it is by strength, I'm not going to go far. If it is by will, by willingness, no matter how strong it is as it appears, it cannot carry me on this journey. If it is by running, the Bible says, even the youth who can run, they will soon be exhausted. They will be exhausted. Those of you that have your legs to run, I dare say to you, the race is not to the swiftest runner. The battle is not to the strong. It's only as the Lord chooses to have mercy on you that you will achieve anything. Now, but they that wait upon the Lord, the Bible said, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, and they are not the one to be weary. They shall walk, and they not faint, because the mercy of the Lord is coming to sustain them. We are praying together this day as we start this Bible study. And say, Father, we have no merit to claim. We have no credit to present. We only come looking for your mercy. We want to become object of your mercy in the course of this year. We want the mercy of God to come upon you. And some of you are so educated and you think that education will give you something, but you have come to see now. I wish somebody can help me to read Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11, but I'm looking for it from the Living Bible. Is there any Living Bible with any of us on the platform? Can you help me check if you have Living Bible and you are reading Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11? Living Bible?
Yes, brother.
Oh, you have. Yes, sister.
9:11. In the Living Bible. Again, Living Bible, yes. I looked throughout the earth and saw that the swiftest person does not always win the race, nor the strongest person.
No, Sister Janine, please wait. I'm excited with what you are reading. Say, I have returned. I have done my research. I've gone throughout the whole earth. And I'm saying that the swiftest person, the swiftest runner does not always win the race. Pick it up again, Sister Jeanette. Start from that verse 11 again.
Again, I looked throughout the earth and saw that the swiftest person does not always win the race, nor the strongest man the battle. And that wise men are often poor, and skillful men are not necessarily famous. But it is all by chance, by happening to be at the right place at the right time.
All right. Thank you. The swiftest person doesn't always win the race. The strongest doesn't always win the battle. The most intelligent, they don't always make it to the top. The skillful person, they don't always become anything. And you wonder for all these contradictions you see in life. And some of you, you have understood what I'm saying. Some of you, your intelligence should have placed you very far higher than where you are today. It's not of him that runneth, of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. And I'm wishing that we will come to God at the beginning of this series of our Bible study to say, God, I am not depending on the strength of the horse. I am not depending on the strength of my muscle. I'm not depending on how much I can run. I've been running all the years. And I'm asking you, with all your running, what have you got? Some of you are so clever, you are so intelligent, but your intelligence, your cleverness had not made you rich. And you are the one who designed everything. Everything was well designed, but someone else was giving that contract. Don't you then know that it's not the merit? It's not by merit, it's not by credit, it's not by struggling, it's by the mercy of God. I wish to offer you this as the beginning of this Bible study today, because it's a blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. And if obtaining mercy is a prerequisite for becoming anything tangible in the purpose of God and in your lifetime, how I wish you will quickly settle down and say, God, I need your mercy. I need you, Lord, to come to my situation and grant me your mercy. We're going to pray at that point. I just decided that let's use today to pray. To say, Lord, it is of the Lord's mercies that I have not been consumed. And those of us that have worked with God for a few years, we can tell you that whatever we are becoming, it's not by merit. It's the mercy of God. And some of you are listening to me and you are young. And because the strength of the youth is riding you like a horse, you are thinking that you don't need mercy. All you need is your strength, your calculation, your manipulations and everything. I don't want you to grow old before you will understand that the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. I don't want you to grow old until you have many scars on you before you come to realize that I should have gone to the throne of grace to receive mercy. I should have sought the mercy of God. I should have sought the sure mercies of David. I'm praying that God will draw you to the place of mercy where God, the God of all mercies, the Father of mercies, where God will rise up to have mercy upon you. Say, I will have mercy on who I will have mercy. Again, mercy cannot be earned. We only get it by mercy. So if you come before God with me tonight or today and say, Lord, I'm dropping all my struggle. I'm dropping all my human calculation. It has not helped me. But you have given me an opportunity to cross over into the year 2022 because you are willing to give me and show me your mercy. Lord, tonight or today, I'm coming. I'm coming to you. Let mercy prevail for me. Let mercy prevail for me. That's the prayer we want to pray. Some of you have struggled to become something. And just when you're about to hit it, sorry, they say he almost got it. But you know, almost is infinitely different from utmost. And some say, I almost made a first class. You didn't make it after all. I almost got that job. You didn't get it after all. Only mercy will move you from the class of almost and place you in the realm of the utmost. It is mercy that makes your utmost to come forth. It is the mercy of God that makes the best of your life to come out. If it was your sweat, you have sweat so much, but not much of your life has been accomplished. I beg you this day, even as we start this series, I'm so excited about this particular series because if there's anything I could give you a personal testimony about in my own life, I am an object of God's mercy. It's mercy that brought me to whatever I am, not merit. Not merit. Intelligence is wonderful, but intelligence is not intelligent enough to locate you where God wants you to be. It is good to be clever, but your cleverness will never get you to where you are going. The Bible said the most intellectual persons never make it to the top. Some of the people you see on top now, you are querying and say, why is it? How did he get that? Even more, I'm more brilliant than him. I know you are. But you see, that's the matter. That's the matter. The King James, the Living Bible said it is by chance. It is by happening to be at the right place at the right time. Now I want to tell you that it is by the mercy of God. It's mercy that will take you to where you should be at the right time for the right thing to happen to your life. Some of you, I know you are very energetic, and you trusted so much in your energy. But when you look back now, what has your energy brought you? Can I ask you to please come away from the strength of your muscle, from the strength of your wisdom, from the manipulative capacity that you thought you have, and come to the throne of grace. Come to the throne of grace. The Bible says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may do what? Obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of our need. I invite you, follow me to that place. That's where I go. That's where I have got whatever I have got. And if there's anything that you felt, this brother, God has helped him and all of that, I want to tell you that it is not by merit, it is not by credit, it's not by anything else, but by the mercy of God. So I want to join Sarah as she was reading that scripture. It is of the Lord's mercy that Brother Gbilay has not been consumed. You can insert your own name there. It is only the Lord's mercy that you are standing here today. And if you are going to become anything better than what you are now, it has to be by the mercy of God. Shall we go to God in prayer? Let's pray together. We'll pray together before I will ask our brother Clarence to conclude the meeting for today. Let's take a little time to pray. Call on God for yourself. Call on God for yourself. Said, I will have mercy on who I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So it is not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. Would you like to just say, Lord, this year I am coming. I am coming to the throne of grace. I have struggled enough. Some of you are listening to me. You have struggled enough. Some of you, because of medical technology and all this, they have analyzed to you and said, this one will happen, this one will happen. Everything was said and it looks like everything will work. But it didn't work because there is a component that you have missed. That component is the mercy of God. That component, you can't buy it with money. Mercy cannot be bought. Mercy cannot be earned. Mercy is only obtainable by mercy. It's only when God decides to have mercy on you that you can obtain mercy. And this day, will you come and say, I am tired of making effort. I have sweat so much, I've got nothing. Year 2021 passed, you struggle throughout. We have entered this year again, you started struggling. Can I ask you to stop struggling? Come to the throne of grace. Come to say, oh God, make me an object of your mercy. Please, Lord, let you, God of all mercies, please release mercy to my life. And when we come back and we start studying what this means, I trust, Lord, that it will give you deeper understanding. But whether we can speak more or not, we can go to the throne of grace together. Speak to God. Speak to God. Some of you are a very young lady. You are so beautiful. You are so conscious of your beauty. But I want to inform you, if God will not have mercy on you, you may never have a correct husband. If beauty gives correct husband, it would have been wonderful. But many, many beautiful young ladies ended up in the hand of mere charlatans. If mercy will not locate for you, my God, where are you going? The Bible says, whoso finds a wife finds favor. I know favor is only possible when God had been gracious to you, when God had had mercy on you. Would you like to call on God with me today and say, Lord, this year, and as we start this Bible study on mercy, Lord, I want to be an object of your mercy. I want to obtain mercy. I want mercy to overrule my situation. I want mercy to overtake all other things about me. Let the parameter of my life this year be the mercy that I've obtained from the Lord. Lord, thank you for this opportunity of this Bible study. Thank you for giving us space to begin this year by looking at the blessedness of being merciful and of obtaining mercy. Lord, I ask that your spirit will move on us. All my brothers and sisters that have been able to join us this time, Lord, I ask that they will experience this pull onto the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Those that have struggled, they have fought with their muscles, they have run with their strength, and they are saying, but I've got nothing. Lord, I ask that they will come to the throne of grace and your mercy will appear to them. Lord, I'm asking for mercy, not merit. In fact, Lord, this day I ask you for mercy, not money. We ask for mercy, not methods. We ask, oh God, for mercy, not merchandise. If you have not had mercy on a man, all his merchandise will end in bankruptcy. If you did not have mercy on a man, one silly mistake will cancel all his intelligence. If you don't have mercy on a man, one small wrong decision will cancel out all the good things they have been putting together. Lord, I pray this day that your people will come to experience your mercy. Let this year be the year of God's mercies on many of us. Make our Rehoboth a room to experience your mercy in ways beyond human explanation. Thank you, Lord, that you will do it. I'm trusting you, O God, that Jesus, being the source of all mercy, you become the ladder of mercy to our lives. We will come no longer running up and down, but we climb this ladder of grace that you are setting up by your mercy upon our lives. Lord, thank you for hearing us. And those that are crying to you today and say, Lord, I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of trying. I'm tired of cracking my head every time. Lord, can I request that your mercy will flow to them? Your mercy will resettle their lives. Your mercy will release to them what they have been struggling to collect over many years. Thank you. Year 2022 must become, oh God, for us, a year in which the mercies of the Lord have flowed to our lives. Thank you. Thank you for all of us on this platform and those that have sat as groups in different places to follow this study. We trust you, Lord, that in blessing, you bless them. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen.
This has been Living Faith. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659. 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org.